there was a stoppage right before the penalty on Cash where it looks like he may have tried to call a timeout. Chestering hands. What do you recall about that one?
Yeah, they're clapping. So I told him before the game, if these guys clap, it's a penalty. They can't clap because it will false snap. I've lost games on that before in the stadium. And I told him, I said, if they clap, I'm going to tell you. I got somebody in the box watching every play. They were clapping. So I ran over to him and said, they're clapping. They're clapping. And he thought I called timeout. And so I wanted to make sure he understood it. Go lip read because I'm screaming, they're clapping, they're clapping. I didn't need a timeout because we were going to get it off before the shot clock. It was 2-1, and we were going to get it off before the play clock ended, and I didn't need a timeout. It was the fact that they were clapping. I wanted them to call it because it's a penalty.
Kirby Smart.
You disgust me. How can you live with yourself?
Just cool it, Zippy.
You sit on a throne of lies.
Good morning, SEC! Come on in. Step right up. Oh, my gosh. Monday, right? Ah, sucks. But if I can get you 30 minutes closer to quitting time, then it was worth it. And we've got so much to get into. So much. Just pure chaos. I mean, this weekend summed up where we are as a conference, and we're going to get into that coach talk, all that stuff, right after this. Golly, Mondays. You know what? Welcome to SEC Hangover. Come on in, come on in. While everybody piles in, I'm going to tell you who's paying the bills today. MyBookie. Right now, if you jump on MyBookie and use promo code SEC, you're going to get a risk-free bet. What does that mean? That means simply you place a wager up to $500, and if it wins, you get your money. If you lose, you get your money back. That, my friends, is risk-free. You know what else is risk-free? Going over and having a good time at Tennessee Legend Distillery. Be sure to stop off at this location. They got two in Sevierville, one in Nashville. Let them know the cousin sent you. Not only are you going to get a discount, but you're also going to get a free gift. LSU fans coming up to Nashville. Anybody leaving Arkansas? Did you steal some while you're here in Knoxville? I mean, come on over. If you don't have it or you can't get it or if you're not in the state of Tennessee, you can go down to your package store and tell them, hey, we need this on the shelf. And as soon as that gets down there, be sure to take a picture and send it to me, and you can be this week's Tennessee legend. Oh, my goodness. What a weekend of college football. And I'm going to tell you right now, who's the best? No idea. Like, I mean, I could probably pick three or four teams that can make a run. Who's the worst? Maybe one team I got penciled out, maybe two, but other than that, nah, any of these teams can win any given Saturday, and that's where we're at. And you see the theme, right? Officiating. Boy, did they take an L this weekend. And we're going to get into that. Well, actually, I'll let the coaches get into that. But let's jump into it, all right? First game, we did the watch party. I appreciate all the cousins showing up for this one. This was a fun one to hang out with. Alabama beating Mizzou 27-24. Was there questionable calls in here? Yes. And I think if you're on the losing team, you're going to highlight those. You know, that shouldn't have been a taunting penalty. That shouldn't have been a targeting penalty. I feel like there should be phases to this targeting penalty, right? There should be a 15-yard penalty. There should be a 5-yard penalty, you know. And I felt like if you were going to make that a targeting, I felt like 5 yards would have made sense. But at the end of the day, this came down to two really good football teams and honestly, elite defenses. It kind of surprised me how well these defenses played during this game, but coaches talked about it. In fact, Drink talked about after losing. He says, hey, man, we're there. He goes, "We didn't play this game to play it close. We want to win things here in Columbia.
Eli, obviously, you played toe-to-toe with them, but the mistakes are overrode everything. So what do you come away feeling about where the team is today? And I'm sure part of your message to them is still that everything's still in their grasp, but what are you coming away with overall?
Heartbreaking disappointment. I mean, we didn't come here to play them close. We came here to win. Like, I'm not good with playing them close. It's bull crap. We came here to win. We didn't get it done. So We're going to be disappointed, but we're going to learn our lessons and leave the event. We're not going to sit here and pout and make it more than it was. Learn the lesson, leave the event. We're disappointed. We had a good enough football team. We turned the ball over twice. We didn't get the ball get off the field on fourth downs and didn't stay on the field on third downs. Like, you're going to lose the game. So that's on me as a head football coach to get that stuff corrected. It's got to get corrected in practice. It's got to be executed better on Saturdays. And there's no feeling sorry for ourselves. No, man, we tried hard. That's a given.
Mm-mm-mm. They ain't got time for that, coach. In fact, things ramp up real quick, right? You just this is my thing, you know. And I said a little bit of this last night on our show. I just felt like there's something about being battle tested. You know, you look at Alabama here, right? They get their mouth punched in week one, Florida State, and I felt like they needed that. This team needed that to realize that we've got some work to do, and that's exactly what they did. They got to work, and I feel like if that Florida State game didn't happen, if that Wisconsin game didn't happen, then that Georgia win didn't happen, right? That Vanderbilt win didn't happen. Hell, this Mizzou win doesn't happen, and can you say that about Mizzou? I feel like maybe the South Carolina game, you know, Kansas possibly, but it's nowhere near as being battle tested as an Alabama game. You finally got, it's like, you know, you go to a new school and they always say you got to go punch the bully or whatever. That's what happened. You punched the bully, you got your ass kicked in front of everybody, but where do you go from here? Do you fold up or do you say, hey, we still got everything in front of us? I mean, I'm not seeing a game you can't win on your schedule moving forward, but how do you bounce back, especially with Auburn on the road, Vanderbilt on the road? We've got some tough games. And then you look over here at Alabama. This is Mike's power ranking first place, and I can't argue with him. In fact, if I were to, he asked me yesterday, "What, Shane, what's the, if you were doing a power ranking show, who would you have in the first spot right now?" It's Alabama. They're finding ways to win the football game, and they got some tough ones. They got the third Saturday in October here in, with Tennessee and South Carolina on the road. You saw how close that game was last year, and LSU and Oklahoma. The quarterback's going to be healthy by then. I feel like Alabama still, I mean, seriously, would it blow your mind if Alabama loses two more games and gets knocked out of the playoff run? It wouldn't me, right? It just the same fact as it wouldn't blow my mind if Mizzou wins out and goes to the college football playoff, maybe an SEC championship. So that's just where we're at in 2025. So now somebody that's back, oh my gosh, them Longhorns are back. Red River Shootout did not disappoint. And, you know, I think if you're watching this game, like if you paid all that money, you drink wax beer and ate corn dogs and you're sitting there, you had a good time, right? And you're watching and you're just like, do something, Mateer, do something, Manning. You know, we didn't have an explosive offense, but what we saw, what I saw personally, was two really good coaches going back and forth. This was a chess match between Sarkisian offense and Venable defense. These guys are making the calls, and that's what I liked about it, is just because I felt like there were moments in the game. Because I'll say what you want, all right? When we go back to score here, I don't think 623 doesn't justice. When I rewatched this game, I saw an Oklahoma team that was this far off, right? And also I saw a Texas team that was this far off from taking advantage of Oklahoma. It was a game of inches, right? But it took moments like a bump on a kickoff return. You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody saw that coming, but I felt like that was the lucky break that Texas needed to get back into this thing. And it's good to have Texas back. I didn't want Texas to disappear. Hell, they got an opportunity. And in fact, Sarkisian talks about this. Can we win out? Hell yeah, we can win out.
I think this, we're 1-1 in the SEC. I said this last week. I don't think people wanted to hear me when I said it. We were 0-1 in the SEC last week. We won the conference a year ago in the regular season by going 7-1 in conference play. If we can play the way we played today, we're plenty good enough to compete with any team in our conference. But we got to play that way. And just as I told the team in the locker room, we have more work to do, right? We're going to celebrate this until we get back to Austin, and then we're going to switch gears. We're going to get ready for Kentucky at night, and it's going to be a tough environment. It's going to be a hard-nosed football game, but that's what this conference requires. It requires mental and physical toughness week in and week out. And so the way we prepared this week for this game is the way we need to prepare for next week's game. It's going to take the same. And so we don't have time now to take a deep breath and relax. We've got to go further. We got to dig deeper. We got to require more and demand more as coaches, and the players got to give more. And that's what it takes in this conference. But if we can play this way, surely we're good enough to put ourselves in position to win a lot more football games.
That's the key, right? Foot on the gas. I feel like it's easy to overlook what you got moving forward, right? Kentucky on the road, we can beat them. Shit, ask Georgia. Last time they went on the road to Kentucky. Mississippi State, we can beat them. Ask Tennessee what happened when you went up there. If you're not prepared for these games, you will lose. So you can't just sit back and look at Georgia and Texas A&M and say, hey, we win those two, we're in. Hell no. You can't afford to take this step back, because if you do, you're going to be left out. Oklahoma, same thing. I mean, yeah, it sucks to lose, right? This is the biggest rivalry. It's a big game. You got your quarterback back. Everybody's excited. John Mateer's back. But at the end of the day, it doesn't – I mean, I'm not saying that it doesn't matter. I shouldn't say that. This does matter. There's a lot of shit talking that's going to happen all season long because of this one. You know, even Sark was quick to remind you how many times he's won this Red River. But – you got South Carolina to get ready for. And do you start a spiral? I feel like Mike didn't say it, and I'm not putting words in his mouth, but it felt like, is there a team that has an opportunity to spiral? Yeah, possibly, right? South Carolina, Ole Miss. My dogs are pumped up. Come on now. They're ready to go, ready to rock and roll. Let's just get to John Mateer while I quiet these.
John, can you just talk us through your day, pain level, mm-hmm. How you assessed your performance? And then I watched you at the end just, you know, kind of standing there in the end zone before you guys did the alma mater. Just what was going through your mind in that moment, too?
Yeah, I said the pain level is nothing. I mean, there's no excuse. I was ready to go physically, but mentally I just didn't perform. My eyes weren't as good as they needed to be, and when your quarterback doesn't play good football, it's hard to win in this league, and that's what happened. But honored to play in a game and get to see the atmosphere, but I just didn't play good enough.
George Joy, Sooner Scoop. John, what was your preparation like this week? I'm sure you were trying to be aggressive in getting back, but how much did you even get to maybe practice this week leading up to the game?
I mean, I got to practice a good amount, and it has nothing to do with how I performed. I was prepared, and I studied film the same way. I just didn't come out ready to play.
Nobody comes to me and says, Shane, can you give me a quarterback analysis? Can you tell me how this play was ran or that play was ran? Now, I'm just a fan. I'm just a fan like you guys. And I watched John Mateer, and there were moments in this game that he was not John Mateer of week 3, John Mateer of week 4. I'm not saying he's hurt. I think he's good. I think he was healthy and he should have been out there. But he talks about it there. I don't think he was game ready, and I think you can get ramped back up, right? Oklahoma has an opportunity to get back into this thing. Hell, they may face Texas at the end of the year. You just never know how this thing's going to roll out. But it is important to get those reps because, by God, you cannot. See, I'm telling you, South Carolina, we're going to get to them here in a second. We're all laughing at them. Look at all them losses that Shane Beamer and company are taking over there. Nobody wants to go at William Bryce. Nobody. And that's an opportunity to have a loss just like you did in the swamp, or Texas did in the swamp. And then all of a sudden we're looking back saying, well, Oklahoma was a fraud. So it's important to bounce back. But talking about bouncing back, what about Kirby, huh? I started the show with Kirby getting that win 20-10. Big rivalry. We're back, baby. We're back. That's one thing I like about this game. It was close. Right? I felt like Auburn should have won this thing. And you see the flag behind me? I felt like officiating took a massive L in this one. And to sit there, and this is what's so funny to me, is when I say anything about this, Georgia fans are they jump. They're so defensive for Kirby Smart. You got lucky. You got freaking lucky. And that's sometimes that's what you need. You know, I go back to 1998 when my Vols won a national championship. We didn't get there if it weren't for Lady Luck. If it weren't for Lady Luck in the Syracuse game, if it weren't for Lady Luck in the Arkansas game, Tennessee wouldn't make a national championship. And so Georgia may sit there at the end of the year and hoist the national championship trophy, but you look back at games like this and say, you know what? We need a little Lady Luck on our side. You got it, right? Did he break the plane? Well, let's ask old Freeze.
Coach, it wasn't everything in this game, but it was a lot of it officiating. And once this season, the SEC's already had to release a statement to say how they messed up. I mean, when does Auburn step up and try to make a change for plays that clearly – were incorrect that didn't go your way?
I have no clue. It's not the Auburn part I'm worried about. I know who our president and administration and AD are and how they feel, and sure feels like we're not getting many breaks, and it's difficult to take for sure. Even on the, there's a lot of things, but, I felt like we broke the plane. All you have to do is the ball, just the nose of the ball just has to break the plane. And I thought that was had a pretty good shot of that on the, but it didn't go our way. And then I don't know how they either should have had a delay a game or a timeout and not a whole new play. I'm still not sure what happened there, but, there's a lot of times that, I make bad calls and officials do the same, but it certainly feels like we're not getting many of the breaks.
But you have before, right? Maybe not Hugh Freeze. Well, Hugh Freeze got plenty of breaks to get back to Auburn, get back coaching in the SEC, but there's been plenty of games. The infamous Cam Newton fumble or quote-unquote fumble there at the end zone. You feel like the Ole Miss game where it hit his fingers and somehow they said even in slow instant replay it didn't. So, yeah, I feel like there are moments where Auburn got lucky and maybe this is just life balancing out. But, yeah, to sit there and say that, that touchdown was not – That didn't dictate who win the game, right? Yeah, but going up 17-0 against a Georgia team that's apparently having a tough time doing anything on offense. Yeah, it could have been. It felt like it. And the main thing for me was the second half when they came out. Auburn did nothing, right? And I can't I'm not discrediting what Georgia did, but I felt like the life got sucked out of that damn stadium. It is what it is. I think Auburn's out. There's no chance they're getting in the playoffs. But where does Georgia go from here? Because I feel like Georgia, we've had some battles. We've had some close games. But, Kirby was asked about that touchdown and how important it was. But he also talks about how important it was to get that ball, go down the field, get that field goal. And I feel like that's also important because, if you don't do that, then that doesn't get you in that right direction, which ultimately led to a win for them Georgia Bulldogs.
I never got an explanation. Of course, it took the longest I've ever seen. All I was told was someone saw a clear recovery, but they thought he or said he was down. I still don't know if he was down. Now, officials said that he was down. Not the official that watched it, a different official said that he was down when his back was on the guy's legs. But I saw the ball from the sideline jostle out. I couldn't tell if it was across the line or not, but I didn't know who got it. And then Kyron popped up with it way downfield. But there was no explanation given.
How different is the game with that play, being down possibly 17-0 and then going down 10-0?
Yeah, it's huge, right? I mean, how different is it? It's 7-3, right? It's a 10-point swing. 7 for them, 3 for us. It's 10-point swing, and that's a huge swing in the game. But look, we didn't just get given. We didn't get given a touchdown. We had to or field goal. We had to go get it. And when you come and start on the 1-inch line and you sneak one, you bust a run out, you go 2-minute, you operate well with no timeouts, and have a chance to score a touchdown and kick a field goal with a little over a minute. I was proud of those guys. That gave us juice in life that we needed.
And they need it. right? I feel like every week Georgia's going to be – I mean, it, got the legend here. Cousin JR, talk about Georgia. Gifting a membership. This is going to George Ibanez. George, welcome to the family, courtesy of the legend, Cousin JR. And I feel like when you look at Georgia, you know, Kirby said a lot of stuff. It wasn't just about the officiating here, right? But let's not sit here and think that Georgia's now penciled in for a playoff run here. No, they got tougher teams. Ole Miss, Florida. You never know which Florida Gator's going to show up. Texas, you know, there are Georgia Tech. We're not even talking about Georgia Tech. Top, what, 15 Georgia Tech? We saw what happened last time these two teams played. But Georgia has a lot to grow from, but, you know, it's a team that their identity looks different than it did 3 years ago. This is a defense that finally I felt like came alive in the second half of this team. If they can pair that with a little some, just give me something, explosive plays. Even though Kirby comes out and says, we're not that team anymore. We're going to dink and duck. We're going to have my quarterback run. We're going to basically play keep away. That's what's going to happen. But you can win a lot of games that way. So I feel like this Georgia team, I have no idea, right? You talk about the highest ceiling, the lowest floor. I really have no idea what's going to happen. As long as they keep finding ways to win, I think Georgia fans will be fine. You know what fans aren't fine is them Florida Gators. Oh, my gosh. Here's an interesting stat. Losing to Texas A&M, they dropped to the Gators. That means Billy Napier is 0-14 in games versus ranked teams away from Gainesville under Billy Napier. What a damn stat line. This is why Florida fans are so pissed off. And hell, even Elko said, but not so fast. It's a good football team. I mean, have you seen their schedule?
Coach, second row, Aaron.
Hey, Coach. Monday when we talked to you, you said you thought that Florida was going to be the best team that you guys were going to face this year. Do you still believe that after tonight?
Yes. I mean, really, really talented football team. That's a really talented football team. I don't know what they did to the scheduling gods to draw the schedule that they did. I said that to Coach Napier pregame. They play a gauntlet of a schedule. It's four straight top 10 teams that they've played, three of them on the road. That's hard. It's really hard. I think that is a really talented team. I told you guys I thought DJ was playing really well. That certainly showed tonight until we were able to kind of start affecting them with the rush. And they're a good football team. We're a good football team. They're a good football team. It was a really good SEC football game.
Very good football game. It was, if you're Texas A&M. It was, and if you're Florida. Florida had moments. Florida definitely had moments in this game. But did I see improvement? I did, but then I also saw dumb mistakes that we've been doing since Billy's came down there. So I don't know what Florida Gators are. I mean, me and Mike, we talked about this yesterday. We're trying to pick which game Billy's gets fired in, right? You lose to Mississippi State, you're fired. You lose to Kentucky, you're fired. But now we're in a saturated market, if you will. I mean, obviously Franklin's gone. Not that anybody wants the UA Trent Dilfer job, but you know, you're starting to see some coaches get fired, and I feel like we're going to see some more, right? We've been kind of on a hiring freeze as we're switching the college football playoffs and the uncertainty. And I feel like the more clarity we get with it, the fact that Penn State, say what you want, Franklin gets, they get rid of this cat. He's been toward the top. I mean, there's a lot of people I'd like to have that win-loss record. I know they don't have a national champion, but just say, all right, hey, you're out, and we're going to pay you $50 million. Just kind of shows you what, where some of these teams are. So I'm not saying they fire Billy anytime soon, but, you know, I don't think you're going to get a head start on these teams anymore. This one drives me nuts, right? This is near and dear to my heart, Tennessee and Arkansas. And this probably, I've never been so damn frustrated in a win in my life. And Arkansas fans, I feel bad because if you had 30 more seconds in that game, you should have won. You should have won. That's what we say every time we walk away from Tennessee game is you should have won. You know why you should have won? Because Low T Hopple shows up every freaking game anymore, right? We get a 2-score lead, 3-score lead. Our defense sucks. We need to keep going. We don't need to take our foot off the gas, because if you do, a team's going to come back and whoop you. Arkansas, I felt like they did everything they could to win this football game. I think old Bobby Petrino, the miracle, keep your job. Now, that's out. Arkansas, you need to find you a coach, right? And Tennessee, by God, you keep playing like this. I'm not going to James Franklin. Seriously, from where we are to where we've been, dude, we can ride this thing. I still think Tennessee Vols can make a college football playoff, but they're just going to have to outscore everybody. They are just going to have – I mean, they're just going to have to put more points up than everybody. But it is what it is. I felt like this was another game, LSU-South Carolina – that is frustrating. But Coach Kelly comes out at the end of this thing, and the first thing he says, we won the game. And I feel like that's the theme, right? That's the theme in the SEC right now. It's like we have to plead our case why we won a game. Was this pretty? No. But give me, just like the Georgia game, give me an ugly win all day long. I will take it, because ultimately that's going to get me to the dance. Now, the question is, will my quarterback, and that's one thing that Kelly talks about, is the development of Nussmeier during this ball game.
Goal line interception, is that just an RPO that Garrett decides to keep and just wasn't the right decision there? Like, could you sort of explain that play a little bit?
It's an RPO, and he's responsible for the safety who picked it off. Does that answer it? Without laying any blame... It's a bad call.
You know, I guess with Nuss, is there anything that you'd like to see him, you know, improve upon?
Yeah, I want him to take care of our short yardage running game. We had two fumble snaps out of direct snap. We've got to be able to be clean there. I don't want to take a timeout in that situation when, you know, we have a particular play on. He knows what they are, and he's going to work at them. And now that we've got him over the hump in terms of throwing the football, you know, we'll clean up some of the little things that are required. We got away with some of those things today. We're not going to get away with them later. And he knows that, and he'll be better because of it.
He's right. I mean, look at this. You're not going to get away with that at Vanderbilt. You're not going to get away with that Texas A&M, Bama. So, you know, these close wins are one thing, but it's the dumb mistakes on offense that just drive you nuts, because I really think LSU could be the team. I do. They've got to, this Tre'Davious Green. Oh my God. I would just throw him the ball 50 times a game. I mean, this guy's unreal. And you got that, Nuss? I did see improvement. You know, he talked about this in the in this press conference about the speed of the football and stuff. You know, we're getting him to that point. Now it's the dumb decisions. And I don't know if Nuss can get him to the dance. But if they don't, they're going to fire Coach Kelly. They're not going to fire this guy, but... Shane Beamer was not happy with the officiating, as usual.
What explanation did you get on the fake punt?
I was told that they were holding it and wasn't ready to snap. But in 26 years of coaching Phil, I've never seen normally, to me, the center judge stands over the ball. And there was nobody standing over the ball. And the referee had his hands out. And then he backed out of there. So I don't know how the punter, the personal protector who's making the call, and the snapper are supposed to know don't snap it when the referee is standing behind the punter. Somebody's got to explain that one to me, because I have no idea.
And if you watch this, I have no idea. I got caught up in it talking about this one with Mike, and he says that didn't lose them the game. And he's right. South Carolina should have lost this game by 30 points. I think it's a testament to not Lady Luck, but I mean, when you get a fumble at the end zone, you get an interception in the end zone. You know, I think that's more about LSU and those mistakes I just told you about them making than it was South Carolina. But Beamer made a point. We were 3-3 last year at the same point after losing to Alabama. So everything's still in front of us, but it just doesn't feel the same, does it? Didn't feel the same in this game. Oh my gosh, can't believe this one came down to the wire, but it did. And that maybe it had something to do with the fans not showing up.
You alluded to it in your statement, finding a better way to approach these 11 a.m. kicks. Could you sense, I mean, how did you feel the energy was pregame with the team?
I don't know. You know, we're a morning practice format team that should equate to playing well in the morning. Used to. But didn't feel like that. I thought our red zone offense showed up about like our student section did today. Very similar. So.
Ain't nobody showing up to them Ole Miss games, which is crazy to me because I did notice it, right? And you want to play with the big boys, then you got to act like the big boys. That means you need to sell that damn place out. Find people that will sit there. If the kids don't want to sit there, I guarantee you there's a handful of fans out there that are just dying to go in here and watch this team that could potentially make a playoff run for once. I mean, playoff run. Think about that. Dancing for the playoffs, and we can't even fill the damn stadium up. That's unreal. Ole Miss has got a lot of tough games up ahead of them, and if they play like they did, if Trinidad plays like he did, by God, maybe that's why they didn't show up. But, hey, snap clear, wild weekend. We got a lot of shit to talk about moving forward. Mike's going to have a couple shows today. Smart guys on tonight. But before we go, pizza review. This one I saw, man. I've seen this box several times. I mean, it's a wild Mike's. Never ate it, never thought about eating it. And then, you know, once I started doing these frozen pizza reviews, I said, you know what? I need to try this thing. Comes with two packets. First time I've ever seen a pizza do this. They've got Italian spice and red peppers. I am a red pepper guy. I was going to put it on it anyway, regardless, but it was nice that they did include this one. Now, one pet peeve I had with the pizza, it doesn't look done right, but and I was drunk, and you can see I dropped half the seasoning to the left side of the pizza. But more importantly, on this one, it didn't really give clear-cut directions on time in the oven, and it's tough because it's four cheeses, and I mean, what usually you could tell by the pepperonis folding up, but there is no pepperonis on this dude. And the cook time was like 18 to 25. It's the largest spread I ever had. But, dude, this was a thick pizza. This is the first pizza I was not able to finish, right? So if you want to feed the family, this is a good one. A small family of four or one and a half cousin Shane's, this is what you want to do. You want to eat some of this Wild Mike's. Now, the cost, little expensive, little pricey, maybe because all them fancy cheeses in there and maybe because it doesn't have artificials, because if you'll notice on the box, it says no artificials, anything, supersize. So it's got mozzarella, provolone, Romano, and Parmesan. I feel like, you know, a little pricey because of that. And this isn't high quality cheese. What I mean by that, you know, you go to the grocery store and there's that fancy cheese section with the little dudes. They're all like $20 each. Or, you know, in our case, Food City, we got a food club version. That's the food club version here, you know, Sam's Club version. That's what this cheese is. But it's still a little pricey. 6.8 I gave it. Toppings, obviously no. I'm a meats guy, but this is the first cheese one I've done. But the cheese did pair well together. I will say this: it was a good pie. I probably would have went with a little more spice on it, maybe throw a little hot sauce or sriracha or something like that, maybe to kick it up a little bit. The crust was really good, good crisp crust. It tastes like a legitimate pizza restaurant. So good. It didn't have a lot of taste to it, not like some of the other pies we've tried, but definitely a good crisp bite here. Flavor, I'm giving a 9. I felt like everything, I'm gonna be honest with you, I felt like I undercooked it a little bit and that number was lower, but the three extra slices I had, I air fried it later that day, and it crisped it up, and I think it was a It was an error issue. But when it was crisp, I revisited this. I moved it to a 9. That means total score on Mike's Pizza is 32.1. So if you're looking for a pizza and you see this one on the shelf, don't be afraid to try it. I thought the Rebel 14 was pretty damn good. But hey, anyway, because having a tough time describing it, yeah, because I'm wanting to eat it again. I hope you guys have a wonderful day. It's Monday. Monday suck, but hopefully you're 34, 35 minutes closer to quitting time. So I will see you at lunchtime. We'll see you tonight, and then I'll be back on tomorrow, normal time, that SEC podcast. All right.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.